You're listening to the Family Podcast from PursueGod.org.
Couples, today we're going to tackle the subject of money, budgeting, and why we don't need to fight over it, that we can stop fighting and get on the same page. Now, this is a topic that already exists on PursueGod.org. I'm just giving a little bit of an update, but maybe you clicked on this today and are listening to this podcast because you guys are currently fighting over money, or maybe you've just hit a tough season in your life, or maybe a job loss or some unexpected expenses, maybe medical expenses or college tuition. Some things have come into play that now you're starting to fight over money. The studies would show that 20 to 40% of divorces cite that the financial issues were the primary reason for the divorce. Fidelity did a survey last year in 2024 that showed that 45% of couples say that money is something they argue about. Occasionally, 25% would say it's the biggest challenge they have. So money is a big deal in marriages. Now, today, we're going to talk about it also from a biblical perspective and really how we should shape our view of money, how we manage it, what we do with it, how it defines us, how it doesn't define us based on biblical principles. And the reason why money is such a big deal is because it really does touch every part of our life. It impacts the goals we have for the future, how secure we feel about our future or our current status, like are we able to pay our bills, the mortgage, all that. It impacts values because we'll talk here in a minute, like we invest in the things we care about. It could impact your identity, how you view yourself and your value and worth based on the stuff that your money can buy you, right? So that's a lot of the reasons why money is a major issue for couples. Beyond that, I think what you have to recognize when you come into your marriage, you have probably a different view on finances or habits of your finances, different than your spouse, and those were shaped by how you were raised. Like in my family, I came from just a family of there was just four of us. I had one sister. I had a dad that had a good job. We had quite a bit of freedom in the way we spent. We were still pretty frugal in a lot of ways, but we could go out to dinner when we wanted. We took nice vacations. But I married Brian, who came from a family of five kids, and money was tighter. They didn't take a lot of vacations. They were pretty frugal with what they were provided for food even. So when Brian and I came together in marriage, I had a very different view of money. And my view was the more immature one. My view was, well, I want it, so let's figure out how I can go get it. And Brian would say, we don't have it, so you need to let that go. So he and I had to work through some things in our early marriage of how to view money, how it was going to shape our goals and our values and how we would spend, where we would spend, where we wouldn't spend. And so for a lot of couples, maybe that's you, it triggers a lot of arguments because you have a different value system or a different habit with money that was shaped by your own family that's very different from your spouse. So the answer can't be, well, it has to be one way or the other. I think you need to look at it and say, well, who has the better handle on money? Who has the better discipline on money? How can the less disciplined spouse maybe learn some skills from that? How can we build our budget where there's some room for flex as you can afford it, but we stick to a structure? So we'll talk about that in a minute, how the budget really can be the bad guy, but you have to come to the budget planning with the right heart and mind. So those are just some reasons for why finances become such a major issue in marriage. But really, I want to start from the biblical point of view to start our conversation as we kind of highlight some values that you should look at when you're dealing with money as a couple is just how did Jesus tell us to view our money? I mean, Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." So where your treasure is, there your heart will be. So in other words, what you value most, that's where you're going to invest your money. So where you invest your money, that's where your heart is going to follow, right? Here's how the Expositor Bible Commentary said it. The heart means our will, emotions, and desires. Okay, so it's kind of the all-encompassing thing, that's our heart. And it always pulled toward what we value most. If we don't align our finances with God's purposes, they'll slowly steer our lives in the wrong direction. So that's what Jesus was saying here. I mean, Jesus goes on to say, you can't love both God and money. So clearly, there's this wrestling thing that we have of what money means, what value we put on money, what it brings our attention toward, and then that's where our heart's going to follow, and that's where our energy and our focus is going to go. So I think the beginning of the conversation for you guys as a couple to really say, okay, we need to stop fighting over money. How are we going to view our money? How are we going to spend it? How's that impacting our values, our future, all of that? Really needs to start with that idea of be careful about where you're putting your money, because where you invest your money is where your heart is going to go, where your energy is going to go, where your focus is going to go. So for example, that was something that we really had to wrestle with when our kids started playing sports, and how the competitive sports and the league costs and the travel costs and all these things, like, okay, we want to provide these opportunities for our kids, but man, we're investing a lot of time and money in it. And lo and behold, we really had to fight against letting that become the thing that we cared the most about, that we, you know, would slow down giving at church, or, you know, not be generous towards other people because, well, we have to put all this money towards this basketball team, right? So you can see how that happens. You know, for others of you, maybe it's your hobbies, whether it's skiing or boating or whatever. And so you're investing a lot of money into that. So it could be very easy to kind of let, as you invest your finances there, then that's what you start to care about more. You start taking more ski vacations, or you choose to ski on Sunday so you don't go to church. And so then you start to pull away from Christian community, right? These are just some of the examples of things of how this principle of where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to go. That as a couple, if you want to be honoring with your money and have a biblical perspective on it, you need to recognize you got to get your investment in the right place. Start that you where you really want your treasure to be. Okay, so now we're going to just kind of tackle four values that could be helpful to you guys to work through maybe some of the disagreements you've had about money. So value number one is it's all God's, we're just stewards. Like a steward is a word that means like you're caring for, like you've been entrusted with this treasure. God's given it to you to spend well, right? Rather than, I think for a lot of us, like we work hard, we earn our money, we think it's my money. I've earned it. It's all mine. Maybe I'll give some to the Lord or to church. So do you see how different that attitude is? If you view that your money is just your stewards, like God's given you this treasure. He's blessed you with the job that you have, you know, even the abilities that you have to have the job that you have, that if you're just managing God's money, you would have a very different, right? It would have less of a hold on you rather than you feeling like this is all mine, I control it, and I decide where it goes and where I want to invest. Here's what C.S. Lewis says in Mere Christianity. Every faculty you have is given to you by God. If you devoted every moment of your whole life exclusively to his service, you could not give him anything that was not, in a sense, his own already. Now, for some of you, maybe that's kind of a concept that's like, I don't know, like I've worked hard for my money. But if we view ourselves that we're just stewards of something that God's given us, we will not hold so tightly to our money. We'll be willing to be more generous. That if the mindset is, God, it's yours, you tell me how I should spend it. You tell me what the best way is to use it. I want to be generous to your kingdom. I want to be generous to others. And it's not to say you still can't be generous to yourself, but the balance needs to be the money is really God's in the end. I mean, that's the value, that the mindset that you should have if you don't want your money to control you, that you can control the money in terms of being a steward of something God's given you. Okay, the second value is decide on shared values and build a budget together. So as a couple, if you guys can get on the same page, like this is all God's money, we're just stewarding it. Now you have to then switch your focus to, okay, so now let's build a budget with that mindset in mind. And think about putting your expenses and desires and goals like in different buckets. And start thinking about, okay, where do we want our treasure to be? Well, we certainly want to be impacting God's kingdom. Okay, so that needs to be reflected in a budget. What are the have-to-have kind of expenses, like your mortgage, car insurance, home insurance, all that kind of stuff? Those are like the have-to-have expenses. And then you have another bucket of like, well, what are the wants that we have? You know, the entertainment, our subscriptions to our different TV and movie things, you know, the activities that we have our kids do, you know, the kind of the entertainment, the more fun stuff, vacation, clothes, all that kind of stuff. And then, of course, what's a bucket of future savings? What are we wanting to do for retirement and preparing for college? The big ticket items, those are like the future savings. So if you can kind of talk about your shared values and think about, like, what are our goals for the future? What do we want to be able to provide for our kids? What kind of a home do we want to be able to live in? How do we manage the have to expenses that you just can't get away from? Like, you have to have a car payment for a car unless you're able to buy it with cash. But how do we manage? I mean, really where the treasure conversation comes in is the want to's, the things that we don't have to live and survive, but the things that we like, right? Our entertainment, hobbies, all that kind of stuff. And have a conversation as a couple, like, this is the money we have. This is what we bring in every month. How do we put these different buckets in play? And my hope and prayer is that God's kingdom would be first and foremost for you after your, you know, you have to make sure you have the money in there to pay for your mortgage. But beyond that, that your attitude wouldn't be like, well, I want to do all these other things. I want to have these hobbies, go on these vacations, you know, drive these cars. And so whatever's left over, I'll give to God, right? To really decide together as a family and as a couple, what your values are, put them in the different buckets, and then prioritize them in the correct order and agree on those. And you build it together as a couple. Because I think what happens a lot of times is one couple is better with money than the other. And so then that spouse becomes the bad guy when they're questioning things that are being spent. Whereas if you sit down and you really talk about it and put all of your expenses and the wants and desires all in those categories and find what fits, you're agreeing together as a couple. You're on the same page. You're doing it together. You're equally doing it together. Now, the third value is to be willing to compromise on some of the bigger picture stuff, because some spouses are going to value saving more for, like, college. Another spouse might be like, well, I want to save for a bigger vacation. I don't want to just do, like, a small camping trip. I want to go, like, you know, on a big vacation on a plane to a beach somewhere. So you're going to have to compromise on some of those things. You know, one person in the family might be like, I want to throw big elaborate parties for our kiddos. And the other spouse is like, I think we could do way better things with our money. We just have a couple kids over and, you know, give them one balloon, right? So you're going to have to compromise as a couple, and you're going to have to decide which value you put on, like, future savings or finding compromise on some of those wants that you have, like whether it's the birthday party you plan or the vacation you take, like deciding as a couple, okay, for this year, we're going to put more in this bucket, but next year we'll save for this other thing. So you compromise and you share and you work together towards that end goal. And then just to recognize that budgeting really does build trust. If you guys agree on the budget together, you're true to the budget. Like, you spend accordingly. You're not sneaking away and hiding receipts because you spent more in clothes than you were supposed to or whatever. You agree to it. You build together. You're building your family together on the values that you have, the future that you want to have, and you're true to the budget. That's going to build trust in your marriage. And there's going to be less fighting because you've decided on this budget together. So if somebody outspends in a certain category, you can go back and be like, well, this is what we had budgeted. Here's what was spent. What do we need to do here to adjust it? So the budget really is the measuring rod, right? The budget can be the bad guy rather than maybe the one spouse who's better with the money or pays more attention and tracks more, isn't always having to call out the other spouse. That's where a lot of the arguments and fights start to come. If you agree on the budget together and you're true to the budget and how you spend it, then you're going to build trust, you're going to fight less about money, and you're building towards the future things that you have. And again, couples, for me, that's been a great journey in my life of just recognizing that money is not the end all be all for me. And that if my attitude is, I'm going to spend everything I want on myself and I'll just give to God whatever's left over, like, I just think that that's just not a good way to view money. It's way better. And I promise it's more free. And I've learned this because I didn't have this in the beginning. I've learned this. Brian's been a great mentor for me in this area, that when we view that it's all God's anyways, how do we steward it well? How do we take care of it? How do we invest correctly? What do we do that? How do we invest in a way that honors the Lord? It frees us from letting money become this thing that controls us, that we worry and have fear over, because God's going to take care of us. God's going to take care of you, and he's going to honor us when we are disciplined in the way we spend our money. And so as a couple, I just really encourage you to prayerfully go into a conversation about creating a budget together by first talking about, let's invest where we want our treasure to be. I hope and pray that that's God's kingdom. I hope and pray that it's about using the money God's gifted you for for what honors him. And that, and of course, God is a generous God. It's not like he's asking for you to give all of your money to him and have nothing for yourself. I think we all, if we look at our budget, you'll see like most of your money goes towards the things that bring you pleasure or comfort, right? If it's your home, God's not asking for all of it, but he is asking for all of our hearts. He is asking for us to recognize that he is a generous, gracious God that's given us the things that we have. And he just wants us to be good stewards of it and to not let money become this thing that we worship, right? That we worship God and we put money in its rightful place and we have the right values of where we invest our money because that's where our heart's going to go. I pray that you guys sit down, have some good conversations about it. And if you're hitting up against a couple things, reach out to a marriage mentoring couple and have them help you kind of navigate through it. But don't let money be something that tears your marriage apart. Get on the same page. Define your values, make your budget, and then stick to it.
Thanks for listening. If you haven't already, please consider rating our podcast. It's a simple way to help us reach more people. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.